This podcast episode contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Blood Evidence, finally episode 6. I know I had posted on social media that I was going to release an episode back in July, but life gets the better of me sometimes. I have a toddler that keeps me very busy and a full-time job, and I always said that I would continue this podcast as long as it stayed fun for me, and it has been. The first 5 episodes were amazing, but it is a lot of work, a lot of editing, and so I just decided that I would release episodes as I wanted to, as it was still fun for me, and today just happens to be a day where it's nice and beautiful and sunny in San Diego, and I want to discuss murder, or more specifically, conspiracy of murder. So it's good to be back, and I'm really excited to dive into this episode. So today I'm going to discuss the Marconi murders, or like I said, it's more of a conspiracy because none of the crimes I'm going to detail ended up with a murder conviction. In fact, there was much doubt about how these mysterious deaths occurred. Not one was ruled as more than a suicide, even when the cause of death was so bizarre and practically impossible to be a suicide. Between 1982 and 1990, 25 British-based GEC Marconi computer scientists and engineers who all worked on the same United States strategic defense initiatives ended up dead. The strange and gruesome deaths baffled investigators. Some deaths, the coroners were unable to state a clear cause. As I mentioned, they were all ruled suicides and accidents, even though evidence pointed to the exact opposite. To understand just how strange and circumstantial these deaths were, we have to travel back to the Reagan era in the 80s and take a look at what they were working on. Maybe they learned too much or found out some information that the government didn't want them to share. Maybe they did share top secret information when they weren't supposed to. Were the scientists victims of a corrupt defense industry? Have they been espionage pawns? Are the deaths nothing more than an extraordinary coincidence? Remember that besides the fact of the, quote, accidents, the rest is total conspiracy. This leaves it open-ended for you to make your own judgments, but I have a feeling once you hear the nature of how these people died and how oddly timed they occurred, you may scratch your head too. So let's go back in time, to the 80s. 1982 to be specific, when the first scientist died, Dr. Keith Boden. Ronald Reagan was president at the time, George H.W. Bush was vice president. This was a decade where the Berlin Wall came crumbling down, America was in recession and still in the Cold War. The advances in technology that began in previous years continued to gain speed with the release of the Commodore 64 computer and the first CD player by Sony. The shift is so significant that Time magazine names the computer as the person of the year in 1982. Other big news items include the opening of Epcot Center, the dedication of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Tylenol scare, the death of John Belushi, and the birth of Prince William. It was a great year in movies with E.T., Fast Times, The Wall, all at the box office. Olivia Newton-John had us getting physical, and Joan Jett had us loving rock and roll. Michael Jackson ruled the music scene and the airwaves with Thriller. Donald Trump was less brash and more humble. He was quoted when asked what he thought about starring in a television show. If I were portrayed on television, I'd hope I'd come across as somewhat of a nice gentleman, but I don't know necessarily that that particular series would do very well. At this time, Trump told a reporter that he did not like media attention. Take that however you will. The mid-80s led to bigger, brighter clothes, stonewashed jeans, big teased hair, and glam rock. Big things were happening behind the scenes in government too. The Cold War was still in effect. There was still sharp hostility between the Soviet Union and the West. The threat of nuclear war reached new heights not seen since the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. This late phase of the Cold War started when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan in 1979. 1 million civilians died in this invasion. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher was elected and the West's foreign policy approach toward the Soviets changed when they rejected a détente, which is a way to ease strain by talking and working together. There were mutual boycotts of attending each other's Olympics, and tensions skyrocketed with Reagan announced that the U.S. would deploy missiles against the Soviets from West Germany, dubbing them a, quote, evil empire.
At the same time of this threat, Reagan announced the U.S. Defense Strategic Initiative, which is where our story of death and despair starts. Reagan was a vocal critic of the Doctrine of Mutual Assured Destruction, MAD, MAD, which he described as a, quote, suicide pact, and he called upon the scientists and engineers of the United States to develop a system that would render nuclear weapons obsolete. MAD is an accurate acronym for Mutual Assured Destruction, which is a doctrine of military strategy and national security policy in which a full-scale use of nuclear weapons by two or more opposing sides would cause the complete annihilation of both the attacker and the defender. Apocalypse-style shit. This is one of my worst fears that this will happen in my lifetime, in fact. Ultimately, this development program was put into place to study things like lasers, particle beam weapons, and ground and space-based missile systems, along with various sensor, command and control, and high-performance computer systems that would be needed to control a system consisting of hundreds of combat centers and satellites spanning the entire globe and involved in a battle that would last only minutes. A number of these concepts were tested through the late 1980s, and follow-on efforts and spin-offs continue to this day. So, this program was really serious, and you can see how it would be very secretive. I mean, this was a time where everyone was looking at Russian-American citizens like they were spies. If the enemy got a hold of what they were working on, then it literally could mean the end of the world. The country would explode, and we would have no way to forecast it or to prevent it from happening. But all this talk of lasers and top-secret space systems seemed like science fiction. Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy at the time dubbed it the Star Wars program because all of these nuclear physicists and scientists of high energy and computation were all recruited, and the stuff they were studying seemed like it would be decades away to actually becoming realized. This was like us in the 90s talking about flying cars by the 2000s, and we are still waiting on that. This brings us to the British-based Marconi Electronic Systems, MES, or GEC Marconi as it was until 1998. This was the defense arm of the General Electric Company. All of the scientists who mysteriously died all worked for this company and worked on projects of the Strategic Defense Initiative, some of them specifically hired to develop computer guidance systems for missiles. So these were mainly computer scientists. Let's get into the juicy stuff now that you have some of the background. The quote, accidents kick off in March 1982 with the death of a computer scientist, Dr. Keith, excuse me if that's Bowden, I didn't look too much into it, so it's spelled B-O-W-D-E-N, and feel free to message me and correct me. I will shift from Bowden to Bowden, I think that's more correct. One night after attending a social function in London, Bowden drove his car across a dual carriageway and plunged off a bridge, down an embankment, and into an abandoned rail yard. He died instantly. The police said Bowden was drunk and was driving too fast, but his wife believed otherwise. Friends who were with Bowden that night said he had not been drinking. Bowden's solicitor hired an accident investigator to examine the wreck. Somebody had swapped the normally pristine tires on Bowden's Rover with a set that were worn and old. No further investigation took place, and his death was ruled a tragic accident. 3 years later, radar designer Roger Hill killed himself with a shotgun at his home. Later that year, Jonathan Wash died after plunging from a hotel window. The coroner returned an open verdict on that. More puzzling still was the death of, and excuse me if I completely butcher this name, Vimal Dahipai, 24, who jumped off the Clifton Suspension Bridge in Bristol in August of 1986. Dahipai had been working at Marconi on computer control systems for Stingray torpedoes. Another open verdict was returned. Dahipai was found with his pants around his ankles and a needle-sized puncture wound on his buttock. The Bristol coroner was concerned by this, quote, "It was a mystery then, and it remains a mystery now." Perhaps the most disturbing of all the deaths occurred 2 months later. Arshad Sharif, 26, another computer scientist who worked on satellite guidance systems at Marconi, died in the oddest circumstances imaginable. Sharif also traveled to Bristol, tied one end of a ligature to his neck, the other end to a tree, then jammed his foot on the accelerator of the car and decapitated himself. The day before his death, Sharif had been acting oddly and was seen paying for accommodation in a rooming house with a bundle of high-denomination banknotes. A relative summoned to identify the body noticed something suspicious about his car. What appeared to be a metal rod was lying on the floor of the car next to the accelerator. Had it been used to wedge down the pedal? The coroner wasn't happy. Quote, "This is past coincidence. I will not be completing this inquest until I know how two men with no connection to Bristol came to meet the same end here." The following years, we have November 1982, Ernest Brockway by suicide, 1983, Stephen Drinkwater, suicide by strangulation, April 1983, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Godley, missing, declared dead, or is he? April 1984, George Franks, suicide by hanging, 1985, Stephen Oak, suicide by hanging, November 1985, Jonathan Wash, suicide by jumping from a building, 1986, Dr. John Britton, suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning, October 1986, Arshad Sharif, suicide by placing the rope around his neck, tying it to the tree, and then driving away at high speed. This was in Bristol, as I mentioned, which was 100 miles from his home in London. And then we have October 1986 was Vimal Dahipai, suicide by jumping from the bridge in Bristol, which is also 100 miles from his home in London. The death toll really ramped up from 1987 to 1988 with Richard Pug, a computer expert and consultant. He was found in his home, his feet bound with a plastic bag over his head and a thick rope around his body. They ruled his death an accident due to sexual misadventure. A couple of days later, another scientist working on some top secret stuff was dead from carbon monoxide poisoning in his own garage. In February, another Marconi engineer, David Skeels, died of carbon monoxide poisoning in his car with a hose connected to the exhaust pipe. Also in February, two more defense engineers and scientists died, Victor Moore from an overdose and Peter Peepall from carbon monoxide poisoning. His death was really concerning. After an evening with friends, he and his wife returned home and Peepall went to put away the car. The next morning, about 6 hours later, his wife found his body jammed underneath the car with his mouth next to the exhaust pipe. Police were unconvinced it was suicide because it seemed impossible he could have maneuvered his body in the odd position that it was found. Carbon deposits on the garage door showed the engine had been running only a short time. It was reported that Peepaw's head was sticking out face up from underneath the car, his mouth virtually aligned with the end of the exhaust pipe. The Defense Ministry says Peepaw was working on a non-classified study of Soviet advances in beryllium metallurgy. Beryllium is widely used in atomic reactors. In April 1987, there was another death of an employee of the Royal College of Military Science. His name was Stuart Gooding, whose car slammed head-on into a truck and on the island of Cyprus. Colleagues of him expressed doubt at the accidental death because on the very day that he died, David Greenhall died after falling or being pushed off a railway bridge in Maidenhead, Berkshire. So Greenhall just happened to be working on the same program as David Sands. And just after a week after they died, and not too far away, there was a woman named Shani Warren who took her last breath. Warren worked for Microscope, a company taken over by Marconi just weeks later. Despite being found in just a foot and a half of water, with a gag in her mouth, her feet bound, and her hands tied behind her back, the official verdict was outrageously suicide. I think it would be just our natural inclination, even with your mouth gagged and your feet bound, that you would probably roll over. It would, your body's survival instincts would kick in. That's just insane how they would call that a suicide. John Whiteman supposedly drowned himself in his bathtub, the body surrounding by pills and empty alcohol bottles, yet the autopsy revealed no drugs or alcohol in his system. In March, David Sands, a senior scientist working on computer-controlled radar at a Marconi sister company, made a sudden U-turn in his car and crashed at high speed into an empty cafe. His vehicle was inexplicably loaded up with cans of petrol, causing the car to be completely consumed by a fireball. Sands was only identified with reference to his dental records. In April, in almost identical fashion to Richard Pug at the start of 1987, Mark Wisner, a young 24-year-old, was found dead with a plastic bag on his head and cling film wrapped around his face. The verdict was death by sexual misadventure. Again, A previous year, Marconi purchased defense electronics from Plessy. Within a month between May and June 1987, two of its scientists were dead, Michael Baker, who was 22 in May, and Frank Jennings, who was 60 in June. These are only some of the mysterious deaths. I don't want to spend more time on the causes of deaths. You all get the point as how crazy this is, from random car accidents to carbon monoxide poisoning to jumping off of bridges and buildings, shotgun wounds. But now let's focus on the conspiracy around it. The ones ruled suicides were studied and found to be very unusual, and some of the verdicts were unlikely. A man named Professor Colin Pritchard studied mental illness and suicides, and he spoke on this. He mentioned that at least four of the men share some similarities, and that before their deaths, they complained to friends and family the quote, strange, quote, impossible, and quote, unscientific tasks by their employers. He said that the violent nature of the suicides are normally done by people who are suffering severe mental breakdowns, and that they wouldn't be able to hold down the jobs that they were holding. Yet all of the men who died were gainfully employed, and they didn't exhibit any disturbing mental behavior at work or at home. And also, all of those same four men that he looked at had found new jobs, and they were planning to leave within days. Why would they kill themselves because of the high stress of a job that they were planning on leaving? And what were some of these strange, quote, unscientific projects? The cases ruled sexual misadventures is also a very common way of disguising murder by espionage. The sex game cover is a very useful mechanism in murder. Not only does it provide a disguise for the actual means and methods of death, it trashes the reputation of the victim and blunts the energy of any subsequent investigation. It's like, it's too embarrassing and too taboo to look into. This person was just into some weird kinky shit and ended up died because of it. So why continue to investigate? So it's perfect for framing a murder, so to speak. The British government, Marconi, and the press blame the deaths on the stress in such high-pressure defense organizations. Suicide is the most common death of men ages 20 to 49, and stress does play a huge role in male-dominated industries, and especially shrouded under such extreme secrecy. The widows discussed that the men couldn't talk about their jobs. The fact that they couldn't discuss what they were going through could explain their suicides and feeling like they were alone in their distress. But to play the devil's advocate here, attempting to undermine an enemy's defense capabilities by murdering their scientists is not uncommon. The United States, United Kingdom, and Israel have all been known to strategically stage accidents to remove high-ranking enemy scientists for political ends. Now, before you freak out here that the United States would never do such a thing, here are some other instances where there have been suspicious deaths after making big discoveries. This is not tied with Marconi by any means, just to continue on the fun and kind of spooky storyline of these conspiracies. We have a man named Don Wiley, and he was a leading expert in chemical weaponry, most notably anthrax. So during the 2001 anthrax epidemic, his car was found on a bridge with his keys still in the ignition. His body was later found in the Mississippi River. And another anthrax scientist named Vladimir Pashchnik also died around the same time. So we don't know who was mailing the anthrax to unsuspecting people, which makes these deaths even more creepy. Could they have been involved, or did someone want to shut them up so they couldn't stop the infections? Then we have Rodney Marks, who was an Australian astrophysicist. He died mysteriously at the South Pole Research Station while working on an observatory. His body was held by the government and security contractor Raytheon for unknown reasons. It was later revealed that he died of methanol poisoning. And methanol, like carbon monoxide, is poisonous to humans, but it doesn't occur naturally in nature. It doesn't occur commonly in nature, should be a better way of saying it. So the secrecy around Mark's body led some to believe that the government was hiding Antarctica's first murder. Then we have, in 2013, polar scientists. So three different researchers were working on the same project while studying the effects of climate change, leading another scientist on the team named Peter Wadham to believe that they were assassinated by oil industry leaders or the United States government. The government has now rejected climate change. You know, it's purged it from its website and it's denied federal funds to study it, which probably would have been an easier way to deal with these meddling scientists than killing them, but who knows what really happened. And we also had David Kelly. He's a 2003 biological warfare expert, anonymously leaked that the British government had falsified information regarding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. When Prime Minister Tony Blair found out it was Kelly, a parliamentary committee was formed to question him. He was found dead in his apartment 2 days later. The police said it was a suicide, but because a judge ruled that the evidence had to be sealed for 70 years, we won't know what truly happened for a very long time. Did he get too afraid to testify, or is this a case where the assassin was sent to him and we won't know, and the assassin will be long dead by the time the files are opened up? Just a disclaimer, there aren't a lot of facts to back up these theories. These are what they are, they're conspiracies. I'm not a conspiracy theorist myself. I like hard evidence for sure. And so maybe all these are quote fake news, but still it's fascinating to look at what people think that the government is willing to kill for in order to keep us in the dark. I'm curious if you know of any conspiracy theories beyond these that involve our government in particular or other countries' governments, what your thoughts on those would be, because it's really, it's kind of fun just to dive in them. So wrapping up, there's not a whole lot of information obviously out there. These were closed. They were ruled, as I mentioned several times, accidents or suicides. So there's nothing still open or being investigated that I could find. So it's kind of up to your imagination if these were death sabotage by foreign governments or some kind of Cold War plot or just some way to keep these guys quiet. They discovered something that they shouldn't maybe have discovered, and not always are these discoveries readily accepted, especially by those who are in power that may not want the technology to be made available, or they don't want other people to learn about it or to steal it for themselves. I don't know. It was just really odd reading about these mysterious deaths and the unfortunate circumstances surrounding them, and I feel so sad for their widows, and that these were very intelligent and driven individuals. And so though I make light about the conspiracy, they are human beings that were killed or murdered, or maybe they did in fact commit suicide due to the high stress and nature of the job. Not making light of that, it was just a very interesting story and it fits in with the theme of the blood evidence. So I hope you enjoyed this coming back episode. I know it's been a while. I hope to release something maybe more substantial and with more information. In the meantime, lock your doors and stay safe.